wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at RGotNoJ on Twitter. And you can give us a call at 713-780-3776. What is your reaction to that big matchup yesterday, Shohei Ohtani versus Jake Odorizzi? It didn't turn out like I thought it would.
Remember that movie Clash of the Titans?
Yeah.
There's a movie called Clash of... Even if you didn't see it, you remember the name, probably.
Yeah,
Clash
I remember.
Clash of the Titans. That wasn't it.
Well, no. No. I remember the Titans. I remember that. But yeah. Clash of the Titans, wasn't that like some kind of a cartoonish thing? Like a Jason
think,
and the Argonauts thing?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was just Jason and the Argonauts. But yeah.
Yeah.
With
I don't remember that, but okay.
With the claymation thing, that was so dumb.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Medusa was on it. Do you remember Titanic?
I've never seen Titanic.
Movie Titanic. Yeah. Are you familiar with the story?
I know. He's on the front of the boat like this behind her.
Well,
you're
familiar with what happened to the Titanic. It's an actual real life
thing.
Yeah,
I remember that the Titanic sank, yeah.
That was Jake.
That was not Jake Odorizzi.
You need to go get your boy.
Listen, Yuli doesn't make that error, he might have gotten out of the first with just three runs allowed.
You need to go get your boy and stop and
that's
take,
a 27 ERA. No, because
Odorizzi,
he only pitched two thirds of an inning.
Take
so
the Odorizzi
more
cape
now.
Off, burn it, and DFA
Jake
him.
Is going to turn us around.
Sweet.
Okay, he looked pretty good. I remember he got two outs last night. So that's a start.
Stinks how he was in the starting lineup from ever and why he's set to get potentially more starts than Luis Garcia than Urquidy, although he's not exactly coming off a good start. Like putting him second, why not put Urquidy second? Why even? I guess you know what? Maybe the thought was Lance will come back and we can just DFA Odorizzi as soon as Lance gets back. But there's no way Odorizzi.
They're
makes
not.
It.
That's not the thought. Wasn't coming out of spring training. Hey, as soon as Lance gets back, we can DFA Odorizzi.
Let's put a DFA guy.
That was
guy
not the way they went
around. Why are you putting him second?
So that Verlander follows him after a loss. You got to win.
Jake Odorizzi should not pitch another major league game for the Astros. He's so terrible, and it really doesn't make sense to Christian Javier. They got to do something. Like just get Javier.
Christian Javier
in there.
Looked good again.
He looked really good. Yeah. Christian Javier has good stuff. Jake has bad stuff. It's that simple. I don't know if Christian Javier is a full-time starter in Major League Baseball. He's been pitching from the pen the last, you know, really 2.5 years. But I just know this much. He's got a better arm, and he's younger than Jake Odorizzi. It doesn't make any sense.
Odorizzi is lineup. Pitching into some bad luck right now.
Odorizzi sucks. Hunter Brown had eight. We'll tell you later. But Hunter Brown had eight strikeouts yesterday for the Space Cowboys.
What? Who you can hear right here on ESPN 92.5.
I'm keeping an eye on Hunter Brown these days.
I know you are. It's the Hunter Brown watch for
you.
Well,
I mean, you can't have Odorizzi.
Jake is pitching into some bad luck right now.
Listen, Jake Odorizzi.
What's the exit velo? You don't know?
190.
There is no 190 exit velo right now.
They're hitting him that hard.
No.
Yes, they are.
He's pitching into some bad luck, I think.
Jake is. Do you think he gets to five starts?
I don't hope that.
If he has another one like this, I don't see how you can just keep throwing him out there.
Because
he'll get mad and pout on social media.
Starting today, after today, you've got, you know, you start 33 games in 34 days. Jake Odorizzi is going to be your sixth starter.
No.
Now, after that stretch is over, maybe that's when you pull him out of the rotation.
I don't think it's too late to just stick him in a middle relief role and stick Christian Javier in there.
And, well, Christian Javier then would be the fifth starter. You need another one.
Well, you've got the five. I mean, why is it you have to have a sixth starter?
Well, that's what they're talking about because I know spring training.
Bring up Hunter Brown. Well, you're not starting a clock on him. He'll get one start.
Yeah. Did Jake promise MacBooks to the kids last night? Was that good?
That's
one.
A pretty good one.
Good one, Manny. That's a good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So they just looked like. And oh, by the way. Yeah, by the way, I think Shohei Ohtani might.
Yeah.
There might be something to talk about there.
Jake sucks, but Shohei Ohtani is really talented. He's a really good pitcher. And the Astros were, I mean, that felt like you're going against old school Braves. You were swinging at everything down and away, down and in. They were swinging at pitches that they really had no chance of doing anything with other than beating it into the dirt. Ohtani was great. I mean, he was great. He put the ball wherever he wanted. He kept the ball low in the zone. And he just frankly, Odorizzi stunk. We know that. And that's a separate issue that you know, will have ramifications on the roster. But from a game standpoint, you weren't beating the Angels yesterday.
Yeah.
Now you got a team that's really not doing so good.
No, that's really bad. We were watching it last night over at Damaris on 18th Street, as a matter of fact. And we were just marveling.
Are we done with the Space Cowboy jerseys? Is this going to go by the way of the letter jacket?
That's Space City, not Space Cowboys.
I mean, I'm sorry, Space City.
Space City. No, that's not the Letterman jackets. That's our alternate uniforms. Those are our alternate. Well, did you buy yours yesterday?
No, I did not. And it is giving letter jacket vibes the way you played.
Yep.
If you keep losing in those like that,
Throw
them away. Letter jackets were one and done. But, you know, that's a 16-game schedule at the time. So that was one of 16. So from a percentage standpoint, you start losing that same percentage of games in these Space City Rocket Jockets or whatever
Space,
they are.
Yeah, Space City. They were cool. I thought they were cool. They look great, and they played well in them. I think it's something that we have to.
I don't mind the logo. The dark on dark just doesn't. I don't know.
I like
it. It's got an old-timey vibe to it, but maybe I just saw bad baseball in them.
That's what
you
saw.
Turning me off.
If the Astros would have won 6-0, you'd have been like.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I just saw a bunch of swing and miss guys.
I saw
a pitcher. You saw
Letterman
jackets,
is what you saw.
The bullpen was fine.
Yeah.
The bullpen looked good. You did have, you know, the four punch outs from Javier. Javier had his good stuff. Maton got through cleanly. I mean, you know, they were fine.
Yeah.
They were fine. So, the Astros, you know, if you want to talk about Jake Odorizzi, you can. I don't know what there is to say about it, but Ohtani was really, really good.
Yep.
And he showed the price. He is definitely price of admission guy. Unlike anything we've seen since Babe Ruth, we're talking about a guy who is damn near 100 years later, and he's doing what Babe Ruth
did. The first pitcher to give up one hit, strike out 12, and get on base 3 times in modern day history.
Greinke never did it?
No, Greinke never did
it. In his early years?
No. Nope.
That'd be the guy that,
or Bumgarner.
Yeah, Madison Bumgarner, or you know who else? Remember who used to be able to
hit? Steve Carlton could hit.
Rick Rushel was a good hitter.
Rick Rushel was a good hitter.
Greg Maddux could hit.
Yeah,
but getting a 12 strikeouts isn't easy.
No, that's Maddux hard. Could do that. Maddux, all those guys could do it. Carlton could do
Maddux,
it.
Maddux wasn't that high a strikeout. He pitched to contact. There's a few, and then one hit. I mean, the whole thing that's never going to be done. He's also the first pitcher to hit twice before he pitched.
Right. First pitcher
now
ever.
Now that's happened before. Wait.
No, it's never happened before. It's the first time ever that a pitcher has hit twice, batted twice before he took the mound.
How's that the first time ever that a National League team?
Because the pitcher usually bats last, not first.
No, Yeah. That's how bad it was.
Right. He in the first inning, they batted
that's
around.
That's right. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah. Normally, the pitcher bats last. Their pitcher bats first. Anyway, we watched it at Damaris last night, and as a matter of fact, Maria and Isabel and Caitlin watched it with it. We ate wings, and if you're looking for a great place to eat your wings and get your wings on, it's Damaris. Great TV setup, basketball and
baseball.
Can't
wait to have some wings today.
Yeah, well, Yanni.
Somebody bring them up at 9:30.
Yanni is bringing us wings today. He said he's going to bring us Greek wings today. Yeah. No, he is. And if not, then we'll shut the place down like we shut Nick's place down. That's what we're going to do.
You just threaten them. You better get a worker up there now.
If, in fact, we don't get Greek wings today, you know what will happen, Yanni. What? Remember? I mean, I think it was Dell who claimed that Nick's was a gay bar that was closed on the weekends.
trying to shut it down.
Yeah, we can do that same kind of thing to Nick, to Yanni. No question. So we better get our Greek wings up here today.
Oh, my God.
713-780-3776. We are going to get Kevin Sumlin in here with us this morning here on the show at 7:30. Summy is going to join us. And then a little bit later in the show, Matt Bowen. Matt Bowen, who is an NFL writer, a 7-year veteran, played for a few teams in the NFL.
He's a really good – he's one of the first guys that started bringing – I want to say like 2009-ish, 10-ish, maybe even before then, started bringing good hardcore he's one of the first former players that I saw working in media where he was talking X's and O's.
Well, and he went to Glenbard West, who we beat for the state title back in the day. Huh. St. Lawrence Vikings beat them. And so – I'm going to have to give him the business about that.
You would.
You know I will. You know I will. Glenbard West sucks. It's 710 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Let's get into this Deebo Samuel thing. I want to know your opinion
on what
is going to happen with Deebo Samuel on the other side.
That's all we talked about on NFL Network. Well, we talked draft. But I did 6 hits yesterday over 2 hours. And every single hour they hit a lot on Deebo Samuel because we need to get into this because Deebo Samuel and his brother's on social media saying stuff and people can't pick up on it. Apparently, according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, this is not about money necessarily.
That's what
he doesn't want to play. They're trying to give him money and he won't even listen to a contract. He wants out of San Francisco because he doesn't like how he's being used.
Wow. So, well, that changes things then.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now we're talking about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Those are a wonderful, wonderful – I'm telling you, you will really like the guys over there. They are our kind of guys. If you're listening to this radio station, then you're our kind of guys, right? And this is our kind of guys. Mike Holly is just a great guy, and Chris and Chad and Kevin and everybody over there. You really are going to like those guys. But here's the thing is what do they do for you? What do they do for your business? What they do for our business is they bring us to payroll much cheaper than we could do it ourselves. When you're getting into 15, 20, 80, 100 employees, more than that, 12, 1,500 employees, whatever the case may be. When you're getting into that, you don't want to be doing your payroll yourself. And oh, by the way, you don't want to be doing your taxes yourself. And oh, by the way, you can't do your HR by yourself. Now it's something that they can take care of. It doesn't matter how big your business is, they can take care of it for you. And then all the other benefits packages and everything else, they're going to give you options that's going to suit your business best. So if you're looking for a great payroll company, go with ours. They're wonderful. You'll find out for yourself. Go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 714 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, let's talk a little bit about this Deebo Samuel thing. You've been talking about it all day yesterday on the NFL Network. Let's talk about it here. Deebo Samuel wants out. Now, so he doesn't like being a running back?
I guess he just doesn't like. So what was told to Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter is he doesn't like the way he's being used.
That means he doesn't like being a running back.
I guess that's who he is. Bucky Brooks made a great point. He goes, look, this is who you are. This is what makes you valuable.
Yeah.
This is what makes you special. This is what's going to get you paid.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not about the money. They want to make him the highest paid wide receiver, and he doesn't want their money. He doesn't want their contract. He doesn't want to be there. Now, Kyle Shanahan, I don't know Kyle personally. I know that he comes from the loins. He sprung from the loins of Mike Shanahan, who was not always the easiest.
You don't know
that
for sure, but okay.
No, look at the face.
That's kind of true. But we just don't know for sure, though.
Yeah,
probably 99.9% sure.
I don't want to go down that path.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Of questioning
Well, did you do a paternity test? No.
Paternity.
Did you? No. Okay.
I am 100% certain he's Mike Shanahan's kid. And Kyle is a little, he can be a little cranky sometimes. So maybe it's a personality thing. I don't know. Maybe Mike McDaniel being gone is not a great thing because maybe he's, you know, a guy that the players get along with. But apparently he doesn't like the way he's used. And the only thing I can think of is, you know, the running back stuff. It has some of it. Look, he probably thinks, well, I'm going to, this is a way for me to be gone faster out of the league because I'll get beat up a little bit. It's also a way for you to get the most amount of money because you're a unique player. So I don't know. I just know that from what two insiders who usually get the information directly from the agents, according to them, he's not want to play in San Francisco anymore. He wants to be traded. The reason this is a big deal is because the draft is coming up. And it's time to ask a question right now. Would you give up the 13th pick for Deebo Samuel?
The answer is no. The answer is no.
Why?
Because he's going to cost too much money.
Well, you got money.
You got money, but what is Deebo Samuel right now? Why would you give that up for a shorter term? Like what are you? What kind of a deal are you going
to
make for?
Well,
for
you're going to have Samuel? To make. You'll have to make a
like.
A minimum.
You want to pay Deebo Samuel, who's just going to be a wide receiver, only wants to be a wide receiver, because Deebo Samuel is great. What he's doing right now. Deebo Samuel is just a wide receiver. He's going to be a really good wide receiver. You want to pay him $20-some million?
No, that's the thing. First of all, the wide receiver numbers are dumb right now, and nobody thinks they're worth it, which is why all these top guys are looking to get it, and all of the teams are interested in trading them.
They're not winning right now. If Deebo Samuel puts you over the top, like...
I think Deebo Samuel does put you... Oh, you mean the Texans.
Yes.
Right, no. But you hit on the bigger problem. Is Deebo Samuel wide receiver running back? Okay, I can get behind paying that guy special money because he's a special talent. I can't get, like, Deebo has legitimate running back talent. I cannot get behind Deebo, the wide receiver only, who doesn't get many carries at all, because that guy's not good enough as just a pure, you know, separator and receiver. I don't think he's good enough to warrant the crazy money that's out there at wide receiver. Pretty much none of the wide receivers are relative to what you can get on the market. Like, you can go get a cheap – that's like running backs wanting big money. Wide receivers, there's a few that are really, really great. But Christian Kirk, for example, you can go draft a Christian Kirk any year. I mean, that's how dumb Jacksonville was. Jacksonville, literally, Christian Kirk's come off the – you can get a Christian Kirk any draft in a third round. Any draft.
Look at this. There's a bunch of building blocks, right? And it's the high, it goes from high building blocks to really tiny,
like it's dominoes.
It's dominoes, yeah. without the black in it.
Right.
Tyreek to Miami, Chiefs sign MVS, Deebo leaving San Francisco, Seahawks, Devontae Adams to Vegas, and then the littlest, tiniest, babyest block, Trent Baalke paying Christian Kirk like the second coming of Jerry Rice.
It's true. It's true to an extent. Yeah,
it is true to an extent. Everybody's pissed.
I can't blame
everybody for being
pissed. No, but I think the Aaron Rodgers. I think it was quarterback that started. I think Aaron Rodgers started Devontae Adams because they couldn't pay both. And I think Tyreek Hill. Remember, I think Tyreek Hill. Didn't Tyreek Hill come before Christian Kirk's contract, or was it after?
It was after. Christian Kirk was a while ago. Christian Kirk was first.
Yeah, I think you.
Yeah.
I think you may be
and
right.
Regardless, I mean, listen, the Tunsil deal had to piss every GM off. But you know what they told their clients? They said, that was Bill O'Brien. We're not going by that. Okay, agent, we're not going by what Bill O'Brien did. Okay, because Bill O'Brien was the stupidest general manager ever. The Trent Baalke thing, though.
It's had a major ripple.
Yes.
Like, so the Deshaun Watson, you just haven't seen it yet because it hasn't played a part yet. But I think Deshaun Watson also, along with Christian Kirk, those two moves back-to-back, Watson fully guaranteed $270 million or whatever, and Christian Kirk...
Well, I got a story here on The Athletic, Lance, that might interest you. Why did Derek Carr sign such a Raiders-friendly deal to prove he can be a winner? A Raiders-friendly deal at $40 million a year?
Derek Carr? $40 million Raiders-friendly?
Apparently that's Raiders-friendly.
I thought that there was going to be an investigation into blackmail and strong-arm tactics from Derek Carr.
Extortion.
Like, I thought it was an extortion move. $40 million is a Raiders-friendly deal for Derek Carr?
Yeah.
How many? Can you remind me how many playoff wins Derek Carr has?
Really, it only
I think we're at zero.
This says it only guarantees $24.9 million in it. And then it goes up to $65 million if the Raiders don't cut him 3 days after next year's Super Bowl, which, okay, so I guess Derek Carr's getting cut. But they're going to redo the deal anyway, regardless. But signing an extension like that is just – it's out there and it goes, what the bleep is going on with all these quarterbacks? Back to Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
You got to pay him. What do you give up for Deebo Samuel? You would give up the 13th pick.
Well, no, you made a good point. This Deebo doesn't want to be full-time Deebo.
And let's not forget one other thing that Bill O'Brien, he taught you. When you are trading for a guy like this, you got a new contract coming, so you give up less, yeah, right?
Bill taught me some.
Bill taught you that, remember? Remember when Bill taught you that?
Yeah. Well, and then he gave up 2 firsts for a guy who needed a new contract.
Right. Biggest contract for a tackle in
Johnny
NFL
Harris
history.
Had to literally school him up as a tutor to get him through his class at Brown. My God. I mean, and it was economics too, I think. So.
Okay. You got it.
This is too perfect.
It is too perfect.
It's too perfect. But but Deebo, I mean, to me, Debo's getting a first round pick.
Yeah.
Deebo's going to bring back a first round pick. You're right. Why would he want to go to, he'll just quit on the Texans. I think this is a real problem now. Players quitting whenever they want. And just saying, I don't want to play for you anymore. I quit. The contract doesn't matter, but I do want it fully guaranteed.
The Justin Fields model?
Well, and that was Connor Orr.
I know, right?
Yeah. That was one of the worst articles I've ever read. But, yeah.
By the way, the article was Connor Orr says that Justin Fields should just demand a trade.
Basically. And there should be a transfer portals for players where if they don't like the way something looks, they leave. Like, yeah, that's great. Well, basically, sports will shut down within 6 years. Nice. Well done, Connor. Let's see. What is he worth? He's worth the first. Who do you look at? I'll tell you who you look at. You look at the Philadelphia. Now, I don't know about salary cap.
Well, hold on. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, so.
No, I know.
So
well,
he's going to go wherever he goes.
Well, that's true. He's under contract.
Yeah.
He's under contract.
For another year.
So he'll just sit out. They will not pay him money. They will say, no, you don't get to just sit out. In the NFL, behind the scenes, Roger Goodell will say, listen, we need to step on this. Mm-hmm. We can't just have guys say they're not playing anymore.
They say they're not trading him.
And then we have to pay him. I don't blame him. He's makes them go.
Yeah.
He makes them go. But if they do trade him, I think the Eagles in the middle of the first is a perfect example of, you know, a team that could use a big receiver that can be a possession guy next to little Devontae Smith. He would make a ton of sense over there. You get a wide receiver who probably will carry it from time to time, but that helps out Jalen Hurts. I don't know. Once again, I don't know their financial situation. Green Bay Packers would be interesting if Deebo was okay with it, but there's no way they would trade into the Green Bay Packers. As a matter of fact, San Francisco, yeah, that's it. The people who Deebo will want to go to will probably be winning teams or good cities. I don't know, whatever, one or the other. I don't know that San Francisco. Number one, they're worse when they trade him. The day they trade him, they get substantially worse.
Now, but this isn't about him getting out of San Francisco because he doesn't like the city or he's trying to maneuver. It's about him not liking the way that they, not wanting to be a running back. Not wanting to be a running back.
I think that's what he says, and maybe not liking the organization or
Kyle
Shanahan
or whatever. Right.
But I know this. Well, it will be interesting because here's the thing. You've got to, at some point, NFL teams are going to start, like, you can expect 100% the next opportunity they can lock out the league, they will 100% lock them out. The players won't give, and I can see them waiting a whole year and just saying, we're not paying the players for a year because we have to get this under control. The biggest fear is this turns into the NBA with all guaranteed money and then players just stop playing. Like,
yeah.
Just pull a Ben Simmons. Because now this is Ben Simmons, it's John Wall. This is now two players in the NBA who just tell you that they, you know, sorry,
I'm not,
we're just going to go ahead and I want it, the money.
Make no mistake, John Wall did that. It's not the Rockets, when the Rockets told him, the Rockets said, hey, you come off the bench, you'll pay me 15 to 20 minutes a night. And he just said, I'm not doing that. And so the Rockets said, well, just don't show up. That's all.
Yeah.
So that's how that went.
Yeah. So it's a problem. The NFL is not going to get there. I mean, the NFL is not going to be okay with that. So, Deshaun did that, which is a terrifying move. Deshaun did that and then got a $270 million extension, new contract, which is a terrifying situation in the NFL. So now Debo's going to try this. A.J. Brown's going to try it. Their new thing is let's wipe the You know, let's take it off social media. Now we'll sit out. What's going to happen is one or two of these teams are basically going to take the hit, and they're just going to say, okay, sit out, and we're going to take your money from you. And it's going to turn into a stare down at some point. But if Debo decides to stay out, like he didn't have FU money yet, at some point he's going to get it.
Yeah.
And then that's when the league's going to have to step in and have something in collective bargaining that protects fan bases, teams and fan bases from just all these 49ers fans who are big Debo people. They're all starting to freak out like, hey, what the hell's going on? Because fans are, and same thing with Titan fans, they're seeing their players who are under contract still on first contract. I mean, they're going to get paid, but they're under contract right now. The fans are starting to say, wait a minute, I'm a big pro player, but now this is my guy doing this, yeah. And he either wants to leave or he wants to, like, what the hell?
All right, Kevin Sumlin's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk to him about the big USFL win on Saturday, and we will do that. And hey, that's our team. That's the Gamblers. So we'll talk to the head coach of the Houston Gamblers next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got Chastang Ford and my people over there at Chastang Ford. And that's about the Cougs, too, by the way. The Chastangs are big Coug fans, love the Cougs, have been all about the city, put their money where their mouth is. They really support the Cougs programs. They love their Cougs. You don't have to be a Coug fan, but listen, if you are a Coug fan, you want to support Cougs, and that's what they are. But here's the deal, is you want to get the best deal that you could possibly get for your Ford car or truck, and that's what Chastang Ford is going to do every single time. I promise you, if there are rebates out there, they're going to give them to you. Other dealerships are holding those back. They don't want any part of that because they want to make as much money as they possibly can. The car business has been difficult, obviously. Ford, especially, it's hard to get those Ford cars or trucks. Guess what? You're going to get it at Chastang Ford. You're going to customize it exactly as you want it. You're going to get the best deal that you can possibly get. You're going to, in some instances, get that 0% financing, no payments for 90 days and nothing down. All of these things are going to happen because Chastang Ford believes in giving you all the best deal that you could possibly get from Ford, and that's what they're going to do. So if you're looking for that Ford car truck or a pre-owned vehicle, they got plenty of those on the lot, 90% of them certified. Go to ChastangFord.com, or you can get there at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go see my good friends at Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.7 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, The Bench. John's going to be gone tomorrow. Dell is going to be in with me. I will be broadcasting live from New York and then flying to L.A., so I'll be in L.A. for the week of the draft doing TV stuff. You can catch me on Path to the Draft. It's going to be the TV hits I'm doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then post-draft, I'll have post-draft shows on NFL.com that I'll be doing, as well as a second and third round mock draft that you'll find on on NFL.com on Friday morning. But I will be here on the radio on Friday morning along with John to catch up on the Texans' two draft picks, one at 3 and one at 13. I'm starting to get a little nervous that they're going to screw this up and not take Evan Neal at 3 if Evan Neal is indeed the pick. Did talk to a team yesterday that thinks Evan Neal's still in play at number 1 and that maybe some of this DN stuff is not real.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but right now we got the head coach of our Houston Gamblers joining us here on ESPN 97.5. The 1-0 Gamblers beat Michigan 17-12 on Saturday. Got another big one Saturday against Birmingham, and Kevin Sumlin is here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sumlin, what's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, John? How you doing? How does it feel to be 1-0?
Well, you know, hey, every week you can win is a good week, so. No, we're happy. We're moving on this week, in a short week, a little bit different because we're playing on Saturday instead of Sunday, and got the Birmingham Stallions, the home team. So it's another big game.
Tell people, so for people who don't know this, the entire league is, I mean, it's kind of in a bubble. It's not. I don't think it has anything to do with COVID. Maybe that's part of the. I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But you guys are all playing in a central location. I don't think that's financially the worst decision in the world. You keep everything. You know, you limit travel and things like that. What are the challenges? What are the advantages that you found so far being in one location with all the teams?
I think the foresight from the league was the big deal. To start the league, and then during COVID, they didn't just throw this thing together. So there was a plan from the beginning. The plan was to put guys in one central location, play games at one central location, whether it was one stadium or not. I think the ownership has been fantastic with doing that. Now, the COVID rules and the COVID protocol has changed a lot since this thing got started, but that doesn't mean it's going to be this way from here on out. But the production piece, the way everything has come about on television with the nuances with drones and everything that actually Fox has done to do some things with the intricacies of football and terminology, I think it's been kind of exciting. You just got to be careful every week because that's live and whatever you're saying is on TV, right? Whatever mm-hmm. that is. So, you know, not that I got to worry about my language. I just got to worry about all the plays getting out just like everybody else.
Calling plays, how's that?
That's all right. It's fun. It's been a little while, but it's a little bit different, except everybody can hear what you said. There's mics everywhere. You got players mic'd up. You got drones, you got everything else, you got talking codes, and it's like a completely different language. So each team has their own language, but which is like every other football team. But the interesting part is, guess what? Everybody else can hear you. So don't kid yourself. Other teams are watching TV copies and writing down plays and as they see them during the game.
So now that everybody's got a game under their belt, you know what Birmingham's doing. You know their terminology, and you're just gonna stuff them and punch them in the face on Saturday. That's it.
No, they're pretty good. They're probably right now. You know, they've probably scored more points than anybody in the league. They've done a nice job. Skip Holtz, who everybody knows at in Houston, used to be the head coach at Louisiana Tech and East Carolina. So there's a number. Larry Fedora, the coach at the New Orleans Breakers from Southern Miss and North Carolina. Obviously, we played Jeff Fisher's team last week. So, you know, a number of guys that people are familiar with and really good coaches. And I think people have been pleasantly surprised by the quality of football that we put on the field.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What did you think of that? The shortened amount of time that it's something that obviously you've never done because, you know, throughout you recruit, you build these guys up over the years, you know what they're doing. And in such a short period of time, having to put together an entire organization, how difficult has that been? And do you think that the play was a little bit better than you thought it might have been?
No. I just know the quality of coaches and the quality of players that are in this league, you know, and you know, you're going to recognize some names and guys that are college fans and some guys that have been on a bunch of NFL rosters that keep bouncing back and forth, and a bunch of COVID guys, right? Just to be honest with you, there are a number of guys that didn't have pro days because of COVID a couple years ago that may have gotten camp, needed some development, don't have video, don't have tape. And I've talked to a number of coaches, GMs, different guys. Hey, look, this guy, he needs the belt. And so, you know, these guys are, you know, it's a 45-man complete roster, which makes it difficult, to be honest with you, on game day. We got 38 active. In our case, we lost two offensive linemen in the first quarter. So now we're down to five for the rest of the game. That kind of changes your, wow. your play call and your play stance, right, because of, you know, just a little bit concerned about well, if we lose another guy, then we got to put a D lineman in there. It's just a different way to do things. But because of the limited roster, you have to have guys that are versatile, guys that can play special teams, and give them really an opportunity to show their skills, and then and and ultimately have the goal to move on to the NFL?
There's plenty of these guys on your roster I recognize. I've written up a lot of them. You know, your quarterback, yeah. Clayton Thorson, out of Northwestern, there's going to be some Big Ten fans who recognize him. You've got Avery Genesee from Texas A&M.
What about my guy Tyler Higbee?
We have literally one of our guys who is an intern here, Tyler Higbee, who I wrote up at Michigan State. That was weird for him to read his
write-up. He blocked for JT.
Yeah, well, he read his write-up. I'm like, here's what I think of you right here while you're getting ready. He's there, and then there's a guy that – I tell you what, there's a guy that I love that's on your roster, and I'm so glad – and I saw he got an interception too. Will Likely out of Maryland, my first or second year in this job, I think it was in 16, this little cornerback is about the feistiest player that I wrote up the whole year, but he's tiny, and he had an injury. Yep. But I thought, man, this guy is just a really good football player, and I saw he had some good return yards and an interception for you.
Yeah, he's a Will is a dynamic player. One of those guys that was on Saturday nights on highlight deals. It was like, we got a chance to get him. He's a dynamic. He's playing nickel, can play some corner, but he is a explosive. He's an elite kick return guy. So, you know, the guys like that that have to make a name for themselves, like him. It's a great league for him, you know, because. You know, with limited rosters, they're even with the NFL numbers. You know, if you can't do anything else, just a kick returner becomes a guy, right? You got to be elite, and so he's been able to show that. I think he's in this league. He's able to show his skill level, maybe as a nickel. You know, and got an interception last week, which helps him too. So, you know, we all know he's a great return guy. And then giving him the opportunity to play some nickel, do some things, and you know, gives him an opportunity to maybe make an NFL roster here down the road.
Kevin Sumlin, the head coach of the Houston Gamblers, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Going forward now, you're going to come to Houston sometime, right? I mean, you guys are actually going to play here that next year. And now the XFL is going to be joining as well. You guys are going to be competition. Are there enough players for all this, Sumlin?
Yeah, I there were more than enough players available. I think you see the product that's on the field. You'll recognize some names. A lot of college football fans, like I said, recognize these names. You know, and I think, you know, because of COVID, because of where the rosters are in the NFL, because basically, you know, there's really no developmental system for the NFL. You either make it or you don't. And, you know, the practice squad is the practice squad, right? So, you know, there's not a lot of guys out there. And so to keep developing guys, the combination of the portal guys turned pro early, everything else, I think it's a great opportunity for young guys. And there's more than enough guys out there that continue to develop and continue to play good football. And there's a lot of coaches out there that can help these guys, and let's face it. I mean, Friday night there were 3.5 million viewers for the first game, and through the weekend, just one game. So, you know, people like football across the country, and this time of year, particularly in these areas of the country. So, yeah, I think it's going to be successful.
How do you like it? I mean, not having a recruit. It's a shortened period of time that you're going to do this, and then you're going to be free.
It's different. It's different, man. You know, you draft 35 guys, and we had a supplemental draft for 10 guys. And you know, because of that, you kind of built your team. Now, you know, the tough part comes. You got to, you know, this guy belongs in your organization. Can you get a better guy? It's just a different experience from, you know, in college, you know, you got who you got. You keep developing them. You know, those guys leave or they stay here. You can move them along, right? You're like, hey, look, you're not part of this. We can do a little bit better here. But our coaches have done a great job. We've made one transaction move in the last 3 weeks with replacing a guy. But you know, it's like what the old Parcells deal, right? You get to pick the ingredients and cook the dinner. So it's a lot different situation than college football, and it's a great experience for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's great stuff. Kevin Sumlin with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can watch his Gamblers take on Birmingham this Saturday. Big networks now. You got Fox behind you. You got NBC. You got some money behind you. We'll see how this all plays out as we go forward with the season. 1-0, our Houston Gamblers. Sumlin, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. And go get those Stallions this weekend.
All right, man. Appreciate it. And then I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Yeah, well, let's do this again. Thanks, that's Kevin Sumlin right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, in celebration, maybe you have a little shot of tequila, I would think.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. Maybe Coach did. I would have.
Win or lose, I'm going to with Maestro Dobell. Like, no matter what that team does, I'm going to say, you know what? You know what right now could use? A margarita with the Humito, which is their smoked silver. Maybe a win, and I say I'm going to get an Añejo, which is the smooth, creamy blend of tequila that's just one of my favorites. I mean, it's absolutely one of my favorites. Now, some people love Reposado, which has a little bit of a different bite to it. See, that's the thing. 11 generation of tequila makers understand that there's a different type of tequila for a lot of different people. And so whatever your type is, whether it's a smoky, whether it is a standard silver that has a great profile to it, or whether it's something a little bit more complex, they got you taken care of. There's so many different varieties to choose from. And it's truly like having a top shelf tequila without having to pay outrageous prices. It's very moderately priced, and you can find it wherever most fine liquors are sold. And there's a lot of restaurants that have it as well. Had one, as a matter of fact, one general manager reached out to me in direct message, and he got a hold of Maestro Dobell directly because he wants to, you know, he's now carrying them in all their restaurants. And I think same thing should happen at your own home. Carry Maestro Dobell. Carry more than one variety with pure, 100% pure agave there, taking care of the all of the little things it takes to make such big flavors. Maestro Dobell.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 7:49 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Some basketball news. First, Jay Wright retired, the Villanova head coach. Now you can fully expect, since he's not 900 years old and his team didn't suck, you can fully expect every opening that Jay Wright's name will come up. Every college basketball opening. Now Jay Wright will be headed there because he's not 100 years old and he left on his own terms. So he's going to get the Pittsburgh Steelers former coach.
Bill Cowher. Who never jumped.
Never.
Jay Wright's done.
No, but he's going to get the same. It'll be the same thing. Jay Wright?
But he's not the hot young coach. Like, he's not the new. Nobody wants.
But he still looks
coaches.
Young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he looks like older Phil Dunphy.
Yeah.
From Modern Family. No one's, like, clamoring for the coach who is whatever he is, like 62, like, can we get the 62-year-old coach?
Yeah, that's perfect.
He's not going to, like, no one's going to be clamoring for him, though. He's a good coach.
I guarantee you there will be jobs open, big jobs opening up that Jay Wright's name will be mentioned because this is when a coach leaves and he's sitting out there, especially a national championship caliber coach.
This one doesn't
make
sense. This one, clearly, he's been at one school. He's not a transient coach. He clearly doesn't want to coach anymore.
Right, but he will. The
he
name,
probably wants a life.
The name will be out there. And then last night we had NBA 76ers with Joel Embiid hits the three and then gets in Drake's face, gets in his kitchen. That was awesome. As the 76ers beat the Raptors in overtime, 104-101, and take a 3-0 lead. I'm just shocked at how the Nets are just pedestrian. I mean,
what do you mean
the Celtics are playing great basketball. Don't get me wrong.
Well, no, I mean, the Nets had a lead late into the fourth quarter in game one. The Nets had a chance. The Nets kind of screwed that up. And yesterday, They were leading the fourth quarter again and got outscored 29-17. The Nets have played winning basketball in both cases,
and they can't finish. Yeah.
But they've been dogs. I mean, but they also, okay, they lost it in Boston.
Yeah. I get it. And listen, Boston's playing. Listen, Boston has been playing the last like month of the season. Boston's been one of the best teams in the NBA. Don't get me wrong.
I'll tell you what you should be what you should be concerned about if you're Boston. You've been losing in the fourth quarter of two straight games where Kevin Durant's been completely stymied. That would be a huge concern to me. Our resident NBA expert RJ Saunders is here with us on the show. Not only does he push a button or two, he also and book guests. He also is a basketball, what we like to call, aficionado. And RJ, the I don't know if you've watched both of those games. I paid closer attention to the first one. I had to do some work last night. But that is a Nets team that what I take away from it is they're somehow winning in the fourth quarter with Kevin Durant, and Boston's done a great job defensively. Like, what a great job defensively the game plan has been. But I'd be terrified if I were the Celtics that Durant is 4-17 yesterday and they're losing in a fourth.
Oh, I think Durant's definitely due for like a big game. And Barkley had talked about it yesterday. It just didn't happen in game two. But I mean, now you're going back to Brooklyn. I think Durant knows that he's due for a big game.
How do they get him off though? Because they can't just be running him off screens. Like, I think he's gonna have to be a primary ball handler, top of the key. Because then you can't really run doubles at him like that.
Right. I think one-on-one, I mean, you're talking about probably one of the most unstoppable players we've had in the last 20, 25 years. I mean, I don't think that there are too many guys straight up, not even Marcus Smart, that can guard this guy and hold him to under 20 or under. That's why you're sending doubles. That's why you're trying to send him to, pass the ball maybe to Kyrie, maybe even Bruce Brown, who had a great start. Yeah. To the game against Boston.
I mean, Irving and Durant were 8 of 30, and they were winning in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's insane to me.
Right.
But that fact that they were 8 of 30, and they ended up with, 107 points for the
game.
Kevin
Durant had 6 turnovers, too.
Yeah. I mean, that fact, listen, while you can look at it and go, wow, and you won the game, but you barely won the game, the fact of the matter is they're doing a good job against those two guys.
They did in the first game. Kyrie went off. I mean, Kyrie had a monster game. But yesterday, they did yesterday. Kevin Durant has two straight games, and it is a scheme. Like, you can see, ESPN's run the footage on and shown you. They have schemed this into – this is now where Steve Nash is going to have to prove himself as a coach, not just rolling the ball out and being a personality smoother. This is where you have to actually figure out – of all the people, don't you think Steve Nash, a point guard, should be able to figure out angles of entry and stuff like that? Like, I would think Steve Nash could figure this out. It's really easy. You can't have him at free throw. You can't have him free throw line extended, because that elbow extended is one of the easiest points to go trap. Frankly, if Kevin Durant was tougher, and this has never been his thing in his career, you'd post him up, because he can shoot over the top of anyone from 8 feet, and he's got such great touch. You'd post Kevin Durant up, and you'd allow him to pass out of double teams if they came and get open 3-point looks. But, like, Kevin Durant, you just can't start doing it out of nowhere. KD is not a post-up guy. We've seen it in the past. Shorter guys have been able to guard him because he doesn't like when people get up under him. But he can shoot over the top. He just can't back people down. He's not strong enough. He could back Jalen Green down, I think. I mean, it's like taller Jalen Green. He could maybe back down Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Skinny on skinny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like a skinny on skinny. That's like he could. Yeah.
Their arms and all over the place.
And maybe, those like toothpicks. I said, Jalen Green also is a guy who you probably back down a little bit. But
yeah.
There's not many people who have his body type. So I don't know, man. That's going to be really interesting. But it does get back to home court. And listen, you were 0-2 in Boston, but you were winning in the fourth. I'm okay with that if I'm the Nets. The Toronto Raptors are done. They're cooked. Three-pointer from if the postseason were included at all, Joel Embiid would have won the MVP versus Jokic and the Nuggets. But this is why you don't include it. Embiid is just showing, you know, who he is and what he is. What got really interesting for me is that the Bulls won, and I feel like people have been kind of disrespecting the Bulls. But the Bulls won yesterday, and Chris Middleton sprained an MCL. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal because it's not like they're loaded with talent. That's their number two scorer in Middleton, and he sprained an MCL. I haven't seen, RJ, what the timetable. I know they're supposed to look at it today. But if Middleton is out, I could see a scenario where that thing's now split at one apiece. It goes back to Chicago. I could see a scenario where Milwaukee has some trouble moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, so when you look at it, I mean, the five best players on the floor, I could argue that still Milwaukee has at least two out of the five. I mean, you still have Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
But DeMar DeRozan, it just seemed after game one, he said, I'm not having another bad game. And then he drops 41. LaVine seems that he's probably still going to have to figure it out. But now you have Alex Caruso, who's now seems to be a guy who's a little bit of an X factor for the Chicago Bulls now. You don't have Patrick Williams playing the best that he can. Kobe White is up and down, and he may give you something. But Giannis is going to need Drew Holiday. He's going to have to look at Drew Holiday now and say, hey, I need you to drop at least, you know, like 18 to 20. Or if I sit on the bench, it should be, hey, Giannis, I got it for like the next 8 minutes. And if they don't have that, then yeah, this is probably looking about six or seven games. And now Chicago really has a good chance.
Look how terrible Milwaukee's bench was. Holy crap. They were atrocious. The starters were 13 of 26 from three. That's great. The starters were 13 of 26 from three, 50%. The bench was 1 of 10. The bench scored a total of 8 points yesterday for Milwaukee. But it's not like the bench for Chicago scored 10 points also. So, I mean, this is, you know, you may not get a whole
lot. Well, without
lot.
Middleton, though, that changes the whole deal.
That's going to be the problem.
All right. When we come back, baseball is...
Was that intentional, by the way, that we're just doing all Eastern Conference and all Western Conference same day basketball? Is this an intentional thing? You got all three East. You had Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Chicago. I mean,
you got one more series, too, so they're
Boston.
Probably
gonna... Yeah, but those were all Eastern Conference games yesterday.
Yeah, no, they've been mixing them up.
Is that just... That was just a...
Over the first weekend, it was...
Right, that you don't think that was intentional?
No,
the
scheduling. Probably not. I'll tell you this: when we come back, baseball is getting violent, and we'll tell you how on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That video got millions of views.
Time to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite now, though, and that's my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. And look, if you're looking for the best way to improve, I just can't stress it enough. That you can't just have your house or your business for 5, 10, 20, 15, 15, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years and not do anything. And if you don't, listen, you're just not going to be able to sell it for what it's worth. Or is it still livable? Is it gross? I mean, honestly, if your kitchen has been, if you haven't done anything with your bathrooms in 20 years, goodness gracious, that's gross. You know how many times you go to the bathroom in there? That's gross. What you need to do is upgrade. How about getting that new vanity, that new toilet? They will make a huge, huge difference. New shower, okay? New tub. You got to do this, people, because they get old, dilapidated. Oh, God. Nobody's going to buy that. Nobody's going to take that. And, oh, by the way, do you want to still live in that squalor? No, you don't. What you want is Jeff Aronoff coming to your home and designing it for you and making it look great. He does it every single day, and he'll do it for you. You know, any business, any home, big jobs only. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.